Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
Barry Morphew. Let's talk about him for a little bit. And innocence versus guilt. There's a lot in this case. It's not as cut and dry as it seems now that it's just kind of reemerged. There's a lot of circumstantial evidence in here, and there seems to be a lot of possible reasonable doubt, dare I say. I don't know. I mean, the evidence points one way pretty strongly, but I think a jury could be confused. He was first thrust into the national spotlight in May of 2020 when his wife, Suzanne Morphew, vanished from their home in Salida, Colorado. I was just talking about Salida the other day in the Cow Palace. Wasn't that on this show? Was it a different show?
It was a different show. Is it Selena or is it Salina?
Salida, S-A-L-I-D-A.
Really? See, I would have totally pronounced it the other way.
No, Salida, Colorado. They have a this old, and somebody has redone it, and they've made it into a cool hotel again. When I stayed there several years ago, it was a sad, rejected holodome that had been falling into utter disrepair for many years, but it was neat to see, but it was yucky. And it closed down for a little bit, and now somebody bought it, and they've brought it back up to standards, it looks like, anyway. Anyway, that's my memory of Salida, Colorado. It's like if you're driving out that way, it's a common kind of stop, middle ground area. Anyway, she disappeared on Mother's Day weekend. Barry told police she went for a bike ride and never returned, but almost immediately investigators began to suspect foul play, and Barry became their primary focus. A year later, in 2021, he was arrested and charged with the first degree murder, even though Suzanne's body hadn't been found yet. Prosecutors laid out a circumstantial case built on digital data, suspicious behavior, and a crumbling marriage. But after major missteps by the prosecution, including withheld evidence and discovery violations, the case collapsed in 2022 and the charges were dropped because they didn't have enough. And they had a lot of violations. The judge basically said, okay, and your punishment for all of this is you can't have these like 13 witnesses. They were like expert witnesses that tied everything together. So it was like, we're blindfolded and handcuffed. Why we can't take this case to trial. Eventually the prosecutor got disbarred for all of this. And it was a whole scuffle. There's new people in charge now, though, and it's actually being charged in a different county. In 2023, Suzanne's remains were finally discovered in a remote area of Colorado. A forensic bombshell then followed. Bam! A rare tranquilizer used in wildlife was found in her bones. Barry, who had experience using BAM from his days as a deer farmer, was reindicted in 2025. Prosecutors now say this evidence links him to Suzanne's death. Barry Morphew maintains his innocence, and his defense argues the case is still circumstantial, flawed, and built on faulty assumptions. The question facing the courts and the public is whether this time the evidence will finally be enough to hold him accountable. So, do you remember this case from a few years ago?
Vaguely.
Yeah.
What I do want to ask you is, does he really look like Brad Pitt?
Does he look like Brad Pitt?
Yeah, because the graphic that you are using for him, he looks like an older version of Brad Pitt.
I can see what, yeah. I mean, it's based on, I mean, it's very, very close to the actual photo that I got. There's so many photos of him out there, and the most recent mugshot, and this is not based on the most recent mugshot, but it's based on like a, this is based on when he did his pleas for her to come back or for her to be released right after. This is how he looked. He looked like he's aged about 30 years in his latest mugshot, by the way.
Possible.
And that was just a few years ago. So, yeah. So, Barry Morphew. We'll go through the evidence.
I'm always surprised, Tony, when we hear these stories. And again, this is alleged. We're not saying he did this. But if you're in a failing marriage, I understand if you have a lot to lose. I understand if there's a lot of finances involved and... it'd be better if your spouse just died than divorce and have to split everything. But at what point do you kind of go, I can't kill somebody. I shouldn't kill somebody.
Well,
we just need to be done with each other.
But was this, I don't know. I mean, if he did it, was this a crime more of passion than it was a crime of, I want to get rid of you because I don't want to, you know, be financially ruined or split everything with you? I don't know, because this is what happened in this case is she finally sent him a text saying, I'm done, 3 days prior to her death. So I don't know if he knew about the affair. He claims that he didn't. I'm going to guess he probably did. And then, you know, in a fit of anger and rage when she came back, shot her with the trank gun. But what was the goal with the trank gun? If you shoot her with it, was it knowing you're going to kill her and then you're going to just drop her off? I mean, how she got to where she got? I don't know how she got there. Was it to scare her, or did you know that that dart was going to kill her? I don't know. I don't know.
See, and that's the part that baffles my mind. I mean,
it's certainly enough.
Are
to
you
kill
that
someone.
Angry that you would do that to your spouse?
Well, and if you're going to do that, I mean, was the trank dart so it was less messy? You know, there's not bullets and blood and stuff everywhere. And you just thought that, I don't know. But the thing is, they did not find, evidence in his home of having that BAM at the time of the murder. There's a purchase history that he bought it in Indiana prior to 2018 when they lived there, but there's no purchase history of it after that. I mean, could he still have it? You know, did he have it and dispose of it? Did he have like a dart or two? I don't know. And then when they looked at the gun again, I mean, this just plays into the evidence. If you're trying to hide something, the gun was not in working order when they found it. But I guess if you kill someone with it, you may want to make it not in working order if they're going to look for it. Or, I don't know, get it out of your property. But
yeah, but then, right?
I mean, yeah, I mean, there's people disappear weapons all the time. Anyway, there's a lot of questions here. And there's a lot of really hard evidence against him. So let's start with the evidence supporting guilt and kind of work our way through. And in the comment section of this, let us know what you think. Either way, on a specific point or whatever. I'm curious to get kind of a gauge on this. I think overwhelmingly feels people are very much in the guilt area of this. But I'm curious, if you think he's innocent, why? What would be the evidence for it other than... is it just not enough to convict? So the evidence number one, this is the new big piece, the BAM tranquilizer detected in Suzanne's bones. Forensic analysis conducted after Suzanne's remains were found in 2023 revealed the presence of these three chemicals that make up BAM. I'm not even going to try to pronounce them. It's a rare veterinary sedative. It's a cocktail that's known as BAM. Are you familiar with this, veterinary lady?
Let me go look up BAM.
B-U-T-O-R-P-H-A-N-O-L. Bronafol.
Give me 1 sec here.
Bronafol. Azapromin.
Butorphanol?
What?
Is it butorphanol?
Yeah, butorphanol. Yep.
It's butorphanol.
Okay, I'm never going to say it again.
Butorphanol.
Butorphanol. I'll know it now when I go to CVS. I'll ask for the butorphanol.
Oh, okay. So, oh, yeah, this is commonly used. Absolutely. I'm looking this up.
Okay. So the sedative, it's a cocktail known as BAM. It's used exclusively for sedating large animals like deer and bears. Investigators traced Barry's purchase history and found he obtained BAM while operating that deer thing in Indiana. No other private citizen in the region had access to it, allegedly. Suzanne's cause of death was ruled homicide in the setting of BAM intoxication, directly linking her to the substance that was in Barry's presence at one point in time.
So this is a basically a cocktail that you would use to sedate a pet before you would put them under for anesthesia. It's not typical in a veterinary setting.
Yeah.
It's more for wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
But it basically suppresses a lot of systems in the body.
Sure. So if a person got it, they die.
It depends on the dosage and how it's administered. Now, sure. I've known a couple of people who've had needle sticks by accident, meaning you're injecting a pet with something, they flinch, all of a sudden you flinch and you stab yourself with it.
Yeah.
I've known somebody, a fellow vet nurse, that was stabbed with basically what they use for euthanasia after they had already done it. But she got a needle stick with it, and it wasn't enough, but her hand swelled up.
I mean, a stick is one thing. It's another thing to be injected with it.
Correct. So if this dart was loaded up with a full dose, it could have suppressed her breathing enough that she might have needed support to keep her alive, meaning either somebody, you know, giving her breaths or compressions if her heart stopped. And if he wasn't going to do that and just let her go, bye-bye.
A plastic syringe cap from a tranquilizer dart found in the family dryer.
That's a problem. Now,
with his
pants. I've had many of those go through my washer and dryer, but I was a veterinary technician.
Sure. A clear plastic cap from the Pneu Dart brand tranquilizer syringe was found in the dryer with Barry's clothing shortly after Suzanne disappeared. No fingerprints or DNA were found on the cap, but I mean, it did run through the dryer. Investigators used it as circumstantial support for the theory that Barry loaded a tranquilizer dart and the cap ended up in the laundry. The evidence took the greater weight once BAM was confirmed to be in Suzanne's remains. So I'm thinking he loaded it up. He put the cap in his pocket when he was doing it and didn't remember to get rid of that. If he did it. Yeah. And here's another fun one. Barry's phone went into airplane mode during the critical window on May 9th, 2020. No way.
Where have we seen that?
It's like he's thinking of things. The afternoon Suzanne was last heard from, Barry's phone stopped transmitting location data at 2:27 p.m. shortly after Suzanne sent her last known selfie. The phone remained in airplane mode for nearly 8 hours. The blackout occurred precisely during the window investigators believe Suzanne was killed. Barry's phone reconnected around 10:17 p.m. after he allegedly had time to clean up and plan the next moves. That's what prosecutors are alleging.
That doesn't sound good.
Airplane mode. Well, I guess if he's going to go take her body somewhere, then that's
why. When's the last time you had your phone in airplane mode?
Not on an airplane.
Yeah, you're one of those naughty people.
No, actually, I will put it in airplane mode, and I'll put it on low power mode when I travel, because so it doesn't eat up the battery. So I'm fine with that. But I do turn it on. We're getting close to landing when I'm starting to get a signal again. They didn't even ask you to turn it off anymore.
Planes don't crash from that. I'm sorry.
Did they even say anything anymore about it? I didn't even know the last time. Yeah,
they still want you to put it in airplane mode, but most planes, once you put it in airplane mode, you can still use Wi-Fi if they've got it.
I'm sorry. If my cell phone is scary enough to take down that airplane, I think we have bigger problems going on here.
Yeah, I think the technology is such that it's not much of an issue anymore. Yeah. But again, you know, when's the last time you put that phone in airplane mode? For me, probably, gosh.
If I was trying to conserve the battery,
I don't even do that. I just go to low power. I don't even bother with airplane mode.
I don't know what it would be anymore. I mean, that'd probably be the last time I would have done it was before I did low power mode. So I don't even know.
I think it would be an interesting character study. Like, let's look at your phone habits. When did you put your phone in airplane mode? If it's something you normally do, that doesn't stand out then.
That's a big
thing.
But
if you never do it, and this guy did it around the exact time her phone stopped working.
So you got to look at a bigger span of time on his cell phone history. And if it shows that he does it regularly, it's not a standout. If it's out of nowhere, that's a deviation from...
Correct.
And then that's where you're going to have something. The vehicle, I can never say this word. Telemetry. For whatever. When I look at it, I can't say it. If I'm just looking elsewhere, I can. I can't, if I'm looking at the word, anyway. There was gaps there. Suspicious behavior on May 10th. Barry's Ford pickup truck recorded no telemetry. I had to turn my head. Data from 3:30 a.m. to 8:10 a.m. on May 10th, the morning Suzanne was reported missing. Investigators believe Barry may have disabled tracking intentionally while disposing of her body. When the data resumed, the truck was already in Broomfield, skipping logs of the drive north entirely. Wow. So he knew how to do that. So he was. And what are you going to say? Barry, great. I mean, that's. But you should have disabled that shit like. Months before this even started. Not like right now, let's disable this.
Yeah. It's a little sketchy.
Yeah. Surveillance footage shows Barry making multiple trash dumps on May 10th, 2020. Barry was caught in surveillance video at multiple commercial dumpsters around Broomfield, throwing away trash bags. He could not later identify what he discarded. Investigators suspect this was in an effort to dispose of physical evidence related to Suzanne's disappearance. So he's like, well, it's kind of what I do. I don't want to pay the landfill. Seven different places?
Who does that?
Seven. I mean, unless you got a lot of trash and all these dumpsters are full. I don't know. I don't know how you. Like I said, a lot of circumstantial in this case. Fresh damage to bedroom door frame consistent with forced entry.
Well, that's not good.
The master bedroom doorframe showed a fresh crack that wasn't present when the Morphews bought the house. Investigators believe it occurred during a domestic struggle, potentially as Barry forced entry after Suzanne locked herself in. Barry claimed no knowledge of how the damage happened.
Oh, for fruit's sake.
At least make something up. You locked yourself out. Done. There's your story. It's simple.
Don't make it harder than it needs to be.
Yeah, I locked myself out. I didn't have the key, although it'd be pretty easy if it's one of those simple, you know, like stick the needle in.
Wait a minute. He is a handy kind of a guy, isn't he? He would know how to open a door.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. I mean, unless it's why would your bedroom be padlocked? So I'm guessing it's just it's just the regular old door thing.
Sounds
you
like
would know how that
here.
Happened. I mean, come on. You would know how that happened in your own house.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know.
She fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
Because people do that every day. That was always my favorite. Like, you see somebody come to work and they have a black eye. Oh, I tripped down the stairs.
I hit my head on the doorknob. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Fresh scratches on Barry's left arm. Photographs taken by law enforcement 3 days after Suzanne went missing show fresh scratches on Barry's arm. Prosecutors allege that they are consistent with fingernail wounds from a physical altercation. Barry did not provide a consistent explanation for the injuries. This is interesting because Barry seems to have plans for a lot of things if he did this. But some of these more obvious ones that you're going to be asked about, I don't know.
How about you figure that out, dude?
That'd be like,
I mean, you look down at your arm and go, oh shit, she scratched me as I was killing her. I better have a story for this.
I mean, go allegedly out and do something. Go do some work. Go cut some wood. Go do something where you're going to get scratched up there, and then you can have a story for it. He didn't think of that. Now, did he? I'm getting good at this.
No, but you did.
I'm getting good at this from listening to all these true crime shit. You got to blend in. That's what I'm understanding from.
Yes, you do.
All of these damn stories.
Mm-hmm.
Suzanne's deleted message. I'm done. On May 6, 2020, Suzanne texted Barry, I'm done. I could care less what you're up to. We just need to figure this out civilly. Investigators recovered this message from Barry's phone, despite it being deleted. Prosecutors present this as evidence Suzanne was actively trying to leave Barry just 3 days before her disappearance. That's a big one.
Again, kids, can I just share something? You can delete all you want from your phone. It's still there. Sorry. Nice try.
Yeah.
Once you send it, it's there.
It will be there. It can be found. It's in the cloud. It will be read if there's a murder involving anything near you.
Yep.
Again, kind of surprising. I mean, he seems to like be really, I don't know. At first you're like, oh, he's really smart. Like he's really, then it's like, what? Huh? Maybe he's more like engineer type smart, you know, with his hunting and thing and being very precise on things like that, but not so much in the common sense area of life.
Could be.
Final communications abruptly stopped. Suzanne sent that selfie to her secret lover. Ready? Secret lovers. Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's what we are. Na, 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 na. Who is that? Who sang Secret Lovers? DeBarge?
Feels DeBargey to me.
Feels a little DeBargey. Yeah. El DeBarge?
Yes. I'd say DeBargey.
I don't know. Suzanne sent a selfie to her secret lover, Jeff Lieber, at 2:11 p.m. on May 9th. They had exchanged over 50 messages that day. After that,
Atlantic Star.
I was in the right 80s ballpark. Light rock, less talk. Light 94.3. That was Secret Lover by Atlantic Star. Now let's talk about the murder of Suzanne Morphew. Right after your 5-day forecast, partly cloudy tonight, 42. Sunshine tomorrow, 75. After the selfie, she never responded again. remember stations that would talk like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The last digital footprint of Suzanne's life lines up exactly with Barry's phone going dark. Behavior inconsistent with a concerned spouse. Of course, after being told Suzanne was missing, Barry did not call her phone, rush home, or participate in volunteer searches, allegedly. Instead, he cleared his work truck, ran personal errands, and took hours before returning to Salida. This absence of urgency was noted by officers and is presented as behavior inconsistent with panic or concern. There you go. That's that side of the equation. That is the arguments of guilt that the prosecution and the DA is bringing against him. So, evidence supporting innocence or reasonable doubt. Let's see if this introduces reasonable doubt to you, Stacey.
Okay.
Unidentified male DNA in Suzanne's vehicle and on the helmet of her bike helmet. Forensic testing revealed male DNA on Suzanne's car glove box and her bike helmet. The DNA did not match Barry Morphew. Partial matches through CODIS linked to profiles from other unsolved sexual assaults in Arizona and Illinois. The defense argues that this could indicate a possible alternate suspect. Investigators later said they traced three partial matches and ruled them out geographically, but the DNA itself has never been definitively identified. So it doesn't mean categorically this is from a sexual predator.
Okay.
It just means that there's some sexual predators in the CODIS system that have a partial match to this DNA string. So it could mean many different people. It's not a super, you know, one in one gazillion type chance match here. They were more so putting this in there to see, is there a match? Is there a partial match? If it's geographically sound, who could those people be? Could they be in the circle of Suzanne? And could that, you know, be part of this? Or could this be a random person that is just in the area? So partial match on that. The question
and that was
just
on her helmet.
On her helmet and on the glove box in her car.
So is it?
It probably will statistically also match far more non-sexual predators. Because there's far more non-sexual predators in a database than there are actual predators. So if we took everybody's DNA, you got those three that showed up and probably thousands over here that would also match partially.
You know, I guess it depends on who touched her helmet. Did she maybe have it in her car and she had her car worked on? Somebody went in the glove compartment.
Yeah.
Moved her helmet out of the way.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things possible. I mean, just using your helmet, having your helmet, you know, sounds like she likes to bike a lot. So she'd be out, you know, maybe take it off, put it. There's a lot of ways other DNA could be on the thing.
You know, she could have stuck it on her handlebar while she got off to grab an ice cream cone at Dairy Queen and it fell and some guy picked it up and put it back for her.
The funny thing is, when I was thinking of a bike rack, I was thinking of a Dairy Queen.
That's why we work together,
I
man.
I was thinking of the Dairy Queen I would ride my bike to.
See?
And I was almost going to go there. And you went there. I would get the green Mr. Misty.
See, I always got the red one.
Yeah, it's like cough syrup. And I don't like red like drinks. It always reminds me of like Robitussin or something.
Oof.
There was Mr. Misty and there was like Mr. Freezy, wasn't there? Weren't there? Did they have two different types of slushies?
I think so. One had ice cream in it.
Oh, I didn't know that. I always got the one that didn't have the ice cream in it.
That was the Mr. Misty.
I was robbed.
It was the Mr. Misty float.
I didn't know that. I was robbed.
Had the ice cream.
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, partial type matches. Yeah. But the bike helmet on a, that makes total sense. So, I mean, and I don't know. I mean, she's out, she's living her life. Doesn't sound like she's all that close to him anymore. Maybe there's been men that have gotten in and out of her car, not for anything nefarious, just friends, you know, life.
What about the alleged affair partner?
The alleged affair partner. Well, they checked his DNA and it wasn't his.
It wasn't a match. Okay.
No. No, but look, people come and go. People have friends. People, you know, it's not insane to think other people's DNA are in your vehicle. I mean, It just is. I think almost everybody out there, unless you are completely isolated, like myself, although even I have other people's DNA in my car because people ride in the car with me. But the DNA itself has never been definitively identified. So there's that. No direct forensic evidence linking Barry to Suzanne's remains. Suzanne's remains were found 40 plus miles south of the Morphew home in Moffat, Colorado. No Barry Morphew DNA, fingernails, or personal items were linked to the burial site. While BAM was found in her bones, no tranquilizer, vials, or chemical packaging were recovered from Barry's home or vehicles during the 2020 investigation. So there's that. But again, you'd think you know, you're going to dispose of anything that pretty quickly, and your phone did go dead or airplane mode for a good 8 hours. I'm going to guess things that you don't want to be found would be, you know, gotten rid of. There's the dart gun. was not proven to be recently used. Investigators found that dart gun, the darts in Barry's garage safe, but the gun was not proven to have been recently used. The syringe cap in the dryer had no biological material, fingerprints, or detectable residue either. The defense argues it could have been from the past deer tranquilizing incident years earlier and was circumstantial at best. So, I don't know. I guess you wonder how, if he's not doing the deer thing anymore, why would, I don't know. I mean, it was it old clothes that you're washing and it came out of an old pocket? I have stuff like that. You're like, oh my God, I forgot I won this at the carnival in 1989.
It's odd. The timing is odd, especially if that's how she, if that that's what they found in her body.
Yeah, it is.
And she just, you know, 3 days earlier said, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
The timing is very suspicious.
Yep. Suzanne's cause of death remains ambiguous. Well, not anymore. They did put the BAM in there. Suzanne's remains show no defensive signs of trauma. No gunshot wounds or broken bones were found. Her death was ruled a homicide in the setting of BAM intoxication. But the exact method, the overdose or suffocation, could not be confirmed. The this is another word. When I look at it,
Ambiguity.
If I'm looking at it, I can't say it. I have to like glance other way. Could weaken the prosecution's narrative in court. All evidence is circumstantial. No eyewitness or confession. There's no known eyewitness, surveillance, or audio recording proving Barry killed Suzanne. The case is built entirely on a timeline and inferences. Prosecutors themselves acknowledge the case is circumstantial, which leaves more room for defense arguments around reasonable doubt. You got the phone and truck gaps that may have alternative explanations. While Barry's devices did go dark, there are possible innocent explanations, they argue, including phone battery failure or truck data gaps due to mechanical or software issues. Ghosts? No direct evidence proves he tampered with the devices to evade detection. Well, how close did they look at that? The prosecution misconduct in 2022 also undermines the credibility. The original prosecution team led by DA Linda Stanley failed to turn over key DNA evidence in a timely manner, resulting in the exclusion of 14 expert witnesses. Judge Lama noted a pattern of discovery violations. The case was dismissed without prejudice in April of 2022. The defense argued that these systematic failures reflect a rush to convict without a complete investigation. You also got the mystery DNA, not explained or excluded. The defense points out that the unidentified DNA on Suzanne's belongings was never conclusively explained. Prosecutors say alternate suspects were excluded, but the origins of the DNA remain unknown, something they believe could create doubt in the jury's mind. And no recovered murder weapon or cleanup evidence. Investigators never found a murder weapon, although there was the unused or not usable gun in the house, and no signs of a cleanup were documented at the house. Barry's home was forensically examined, and no traces of blood, DNA transfer, or Suzanne's personal items linked to the violence were found. That's interesting. But if you just tranquilized someone, you might not have a whole lot to clean up.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like he took a machete and did something and had, you know.
Barry's daughters continue to support him throughout the case. His daughters have stood by their father, insisting he could not have harmed their mother. Their loyalty could influence a jury's perception, especially since they were both close to both of the parents and had not distanced themselves even after the re-indictment, at least not as of now. The re-indictment was just a few days ago.
Boy. I don't know. What do you think?
I would guess he did it, but I do think that there's a lot of reasonable doubt that a jury could inference. I don't think I would look at it as reasonable doubt if I were on the jury, but I think a lot of juries could feel that way. Because you got to look at it like a puzzle, you know? You got the whole damn thing put together, and then you're missing the nose of Barry, if the Barry is the puzzle here. You don't have that piece, but you have the rest of it. And you're going, oh, it's a puzzle of Barry Morphew. No, it's not. Why would it not be? Well, you don't have that piece. Well, I can look at the rest of the picture and look, and it's Barry Morphew. So that is where that would be, you know, pretty much to the point where you could convict because you have enough pieces of the evidence. It's what circumstantial evidence essentially is. And you have enough that points directly to this. But if you're going to get hung up on the puzzle piece, because yes, you could be surprised that piece goes in there. And for whatever reason, the picture that is taken from Barry Morphew's house of Barry Morphew could in fact be some other guy that looks like Barry Morphew. He's has a totally different nose, looks kind of like Michael Jackson, and has whiskers on that piece of the puzzle. That could be what the piece is if you found it. Is it likely to be that? Is there anything in the world that would point to it being something like that? No. Could it be? Sure. But that's not reasonable. That's the reasonable part of the doubt.
This would be a tough case for a jury.
I think it would be, honestly. I mean, I think he's guilty as sin. That's my opinion. There's just too many weird things that are going on circumstantially here based on what we've seen that really point to his guilt. Unless they're going to argue that these things that the prosecution is saying happened didn't happen.
I don't know. The fact that he had access to these tranquilizers and then that was found in her body, to me, that just...
Well, and another interesting thing about this, though, too, is when questioned, like his story emotes all of these things. He talks about using tranquilizer darts, not even questioned about it. And what he did with deer back in Indiana, I believe. And he walks them up to like everything that they're saying he did. So it's like, would you do that? Are you trying to hide in plain sight? Or are they taking what his statements are and then trying to match it to it being him?
Yeah.
Because he's walking them up to things. Yeah. I mean, I don't know yet. I mean, just starting to get into this case, on the surface, it does look very guilty. But is it that? I don't know. I think we got to keep looking at it. We got to keep listening to the evidence and the statements. And other people who looked at this case 3 years ago, you have far more than I do because I don't remember a ton about it. So I am just absorbing it right now. So please, in the comments, tell me what you think about this whole damn thing. Guilty? Not guilty? There's a lot of the evidence. Are there other pieces we're missing and haven't talked about yet? Put that in the comments too. Want to hear what you think. On the surface, your thoughts?
It feels guilty to me.
Yeah.
Again, you know, innocent until proven guilty. But I think the text, you know, we're done. Access to the BAM. I don't have access to the BAM. I don't work in a vet clinic anymore. But even when I worked there, a lot of that stuff was locked up. I didn't have access to it.
Well, I mean, he did have access to it years ago, but there's no evidence he had it then.
Unless
I mean, you get rid of it,
syringe.
Though. I mean, it's not a crazy thing to say we're just going to go get rid of it and it's gone. I mean, that's not a bridge too far. But there, you know, he had ordered it in the past. There wasn't any record of recent orders, so it would just be his previous stock, which if he's not doing that anymore, he probably would have some of.
You could, and it would be most likely expired, but that doesn't mean it's ineffective.
Yeah.
It could still work.
It's just not extra strength. It's just diet. It's
it might lose
BAM.
Its potency, but it would still do the trick if you had enough.
It's like Pepsi free.
Yeah.
Just for the taste of it, Diet Coke. There you go. All right. So let me know what you think in the comment section. Press subscribe wherever you're listening to this on the podcast platforms. And if you're not on our YouTube channel yet, please check it out. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski. For Stacey, I'm Tony. We'll talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same-day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.